Good morning. Welcome. Is anybody awake? Are you awake? We're glad that you are with us this morning. If you're here in person, we're glad. If you are with our live stream audience, we are also glad that you're worshiping with us. Let's praise the Lord together this morning. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite your spirit. I thank you, God, that you are even mindful of us. Father, let us know and remember that this is not about us. It's about you. And we worship an audience of one. You are our audience. And we ask you to be here with us and to send your spirit. We ask that you would stir us, that you would change us, that you would bless us, that we might be a blessing to others. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship.
Lift up your voice and sing. Is it Children's Sermon Sunday? Kids, come on now for the Children's Sermon. You can be seated. Oh, kids are going out.
Good morning, church. So, as the kids are making their way out, we did have a few things that we wanted to bring up today. First off, we are excited as the youth program to bring something not only to the parents of youth kids, but also to just any parents in our congregation at all. The slides are out in the lobby. I didn't get it to Arliss in time to put them up here. My bad. Sorry. But the slide is out in the lobby. We are having a parent seminar over social media, identity, and culture on March 28th at 3 o'clock p.m. in the youth room. If by means that the crowd gets too big for the youth room, we'll move in here. But we're going to start in the youth room. And I am bringing in a very good friend of mine. His name is Stephen Gehring. Stephen has been a youth pastor for 10 years. He has recently, in the past couple years, completed his Master's of Arts in Biblical Counseling. Sorry, 21st, not 28th. See, what would I do without Shauna? Yes, 21st, sorry, not the 28th, March 21st. And so, like I said, we're bringing in Stephen Gehring. He just recently finished his Master's of Arts in Biblical Counseling. He's done youth ministry for 10-plus years, and he has been doing pastoral counseling for the past 3 years, and he has a seminar talk that he's going to come and bring to our parents. I'm super excited. I love the guy. He is very, very, very smart and wise, and I'm excited. And we didn't want to just leave that to the youth program. So if you are a parent of a younger-than-youth kid and you're child might already have social media, or your child might be constantly begging you for social media like my 8-year-old does. It would be great, and it's a great opportunity for y'all to come and hopefully stay on track of the curves of social media and everything else that goes on as far as that goes for kids. The other thing that I needed to bring up is it is time to start registering for church camp. So for the past 3 or 4 years now, we've been going out to Camp Butman. That is the Methodist camp that is closest to us. It is about 30 miles south of Merkel. And it is something that our church has kind of grown and grown and grown into more and more. And so out on the slides, and it's on our church Facebook page, and I believe that we've sent it out, or I'm going to send it out in an email, or Jeff will send it out in an email. There's a slide with links to sign up. Right now, until April 16th, the cost is the lowest it will be. After April 16th, the price will go up. Scholarships are available, so if you can't quite afford the cost of camp, I believe it's right now, it's for the junior high and high school camp, it's $315 for a week of camp. For the elementary, it's $305. And for the young elementary, which is a 3-day camp, it is $164. So if you have financial obligations that can't make you pay for camp, or if you are like one of our many families in this where you're like, oh, that's great, I can pay for one, but I have 4 kids going to camp. So we have scholarships available. We love just providing that opportunity for all kids that are able to go. And then also, we always are in desperate need of volunteers. So if you ever have even remotely considered that you'd be good with kids, come talk to me. I'm in charge of volunteers for all the camps this summer, at least from our church, and we are supposed to bring 1 volunteer or 2 volunteers per 5 kids that go to said camp. So if you have any questions or doubts or comments or thoughts at all, please come talk to me. I'd love to talk a little bit more, and we can figure out a camp that works well for you. The other thing that I was supposed to mention, obviously, by now, I hope that most of y'all have done our church app. But you can literally find just about everything that we do in that application. And so if you haven't, you can search Wiley Methodist Church on the Android or Apple App Store, and you can download our church app. It has sermon notes. It has ability to give online. And it also has push notifications for anything that's coming up. Like Billy sends out the weekly meal on Wednesday nights and everything else. So when things are happening in our church, those push notifications come out. And that's one of our main methods of communication. And then finally, that was it. Sorry, looking down at my phone, looking at notes, making sure I don't forget anything. So as we move into a time of prayer today, I don't know about you guys, but it's been kind of a very tread carefully spring break. Because if for all the parents in here that remember, spring break was when the world ended last year. The schools sent our kids home for a week and never took them back. And so with that being said, it's one of those things that even though it's pretty far off into the distance and it's kind of a memory now, it's still one of those things that's like, man, it can't happen 2 years in a row, right? Like, we had the double blessing, which bless you all the teachers in this room. We had the double blessing of having kids in online school and having my wife teach online school at the same time. And, teachers need Jesus. Amen. Parents need Jesus. Amen. So I think just as this is once again kind of an opportunity for most families to relax, I think there's a little bit of fear that still kind of lingers and coincides with what is happening. And so I just want to take this morning to kind of pray against that. Because fear doesn't come from God. So, I believe that if we genuinely want to avoid fear, we have to cling to the one that gives truth. Amen? So, will you pray with me? God, there are not words that are adequately used to describe how amazing you are. We can say all the words we want, but they don't come close. We can say that you're sufficient because you are, but in all honesty, you go farther than anything we could have ever asked for. We say you are peace, but God, you surpass our understanding of peace. You give us an opportunity to experience peace that's supernatural. You give us the opportunity to experience a peace that's contagious. And God, that's mind-blowing. We say that you're unfathomable, and it's true. You are so grand and complex and divine that we can't even begin to think and comprehend who you are and what you've done. But we do know that you sent your Son to die for us. We do know that when you tried and tried and tried again to make people restore your covenant, we couldn't do it. So you sent your Son instead. We thank you that he came into this world and lived a sinless life. So not only could we be free of our sin, but God, it also makes us free to struggle occasionally because we don't have to worry about the outcome. We thank you for the salvation that you gave us on the cross. We thank you for the freedom and the redemption. And God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Because God, I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room, but there are times that I need grace. There are times that I need mercy. And God, I just thank you that you have an unending amount of both of those. We can never run too far away from you. We can never do too much to make you stop loving us. God, you are so sovereign and so powerful. And I just wanted to spend this moment of prayer focusing on how great you are, because for some reason, when we focus on how great you are, the problems around us seem so insignificant. When we focus on the power that you have, that not only you exemplified through your Spirit in Jesus, but God, we have that same power. Jesus even says that that power will come among us and we'll do greater things than he did. So we thank you for that power. We thank you for just the ability to be known as your children. And God, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the people in this church, God. As so many people don't even call this church, they call it home. Just be with us and continue to allow us to avoid fear, because God, fear isn't worth it. Fear just draws us away from trusting in how good you are. God, we thank you for what you did in scriptures. We thank you for what you showed us through the disciples. And God, we thank you for even teaching us how to pray by teaching the disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue in a time of worship, I just want to remind you that due to being safe and having precautions in place, the offering plates are up here on the altar or on the kneeling rail. And so please, during this next song, if you want to give, bring your offerings up front. We thank y'all for y'all's generosity. I've been in many, many different churches, and I brag on this church all the time, you guys. Like, it's crazy. The love and the support that y'all give, and y'all's desire to step out of comfort zones and step out and do things. That doesn't exist in all churches, unfortunately. And we're really, really blessed as a staff to know that we can trust on y'all in this church. So the offering plates are up here. If you don't want to do that, of course, you can give online on the church app, and just continue to join us in worship.
There's revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and the pastor all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Won't you choose it? You can lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. In the valley that I wander, turn to mountains I can climb. Oh, you're with me, never leave me. Cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got an old church choir singing.
Promise, you'll bury body, be
Well, good morning again. Welcome. You feel the Holy Spirit this morning? Pray that you do. I pray that our live stream audience also feels that in their home. It's just good to have you with us this morning. I've noticed the last two or three weeks, some people kind of trickling back in, feeling a little more comfortable. Woohoo! Yeah, it's good to have you coming back. I just want to remind you that you can, any of us, our guests or our members, you can register your attendance with us through our Wiley Methodist app. We've kind of, you know, for the last year or so, we've kind of gone paperless. We may get back to paper someday, but we're right now, we're just, you can register online. I also want to remind you that if you aren't on our email list, we do a lot of communication through email, and you can either do that through the online registration, put your email, or you can just put it on a piece of paper and hand that to me. If you are a guest this morning, we're especially glad that you are with us and hope you feel the love of Christ and the love of His people. If you will turn with me to Matthew 25 this morning. If you looked at, I've got the each week, the sermon handouts. We've got an online bulletin that you can get through in our app and sermon notes and so forth. Mike was telling me this morning, it's like the red letter edition this morning, the notes. If we're going to listen to somebody, I think Jesus is a pretty good person to listen to, huh? Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. These are the words of Christ. I think that's important, significant. These aren't my words. These are the words of Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Jesus, sound like Jesus is getting serious here. He will put the sheep on His right. Now, don't be offended, left side of the sanctuary. It's okay. He will put the sheep on His right, and He'll put the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Now listen to the humility of this response. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the King will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." It doesn't stop there, though. We're feeling good about right there, right? And Jesus goes on. Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer. Listen to the difference in the response. "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your holy, inspired word. Jesus, we thank you for this teaching. We pray that you would continue to teach even today as we study this, as we try to understand your heart for us. So come, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to introduce you to somebody, and I have, by the way, if anybody's like stressing out about this, I have permission from this young lady to talk about this, and permission from her mom as well. Novi, can you just stand up and wave your hand right there? This is Novi, everybody. Say hi to Novi. Okay, you can sit back down, Novi. I wanted them to see you. Novi has been coming for quite a while to our youth group. She's a friend of Taylor Wood and others in our youth group. Novi was born blind. And if you get a chance to know Novi, you know that while she may not have eyesight, she has a special heart. She's a sweet young lady. We got word that, I don't know, a couple of months ago, Naomi, who's also friends with the family, came to me and said, you know, that there's these special glasses that you can buy for people without sight, and you can buy these special glasses, and it's amazing what these glasses can do. It can read a book. You can put a book in front of it. You can put different money in front of it, and it'll tell you what's there. If someone, once you kind of program faces into it, it can say, that's your good-looking pastor when I walk up. It doesn't say that, Novi? You need to change the programming on that. Okay, maybe it says there's a man in front of you, or it's Pastor Jeff. If I have anything to do with the programming, then. So we found out about these glasses, and we found out that Novi had put a GoFundMe page to try to raise some money for this. And these glasses were expensive, $4,250 for these glasses, and I think they had raised a little over $1,000. And we've got funding because of your, as Brent mentioned earlier, because of your faithfulness, and we've budgeted funding, and we call it CARE, where we can help people in different circumstances. We decided, let's get these glasses for Novi. And so, without telling her, we contacted her mom, and we got these glasses ordered, and they came in a couple of weeks ago, I believe, Novi? On a random Monday night. Okay, so I've got a couple of videos that I've kind of edited together just to give you a little snapshot. This first one is going to be where her mom goes and retrieves the package from the door, and Novi knows nothing about this, and her reaction. And then another one is kind of demonstrates what the glasses can do. So go ahead and show that, Lee.
Hey, Novi. Come to the living room real quick.
Okay.
That's a tiny little thing. What is that? So, you remember how you were doing that fundraiser?
Yeah.
And remember how I told you that maybe your church wanted to help out a little bit?
Yeah.
That's your Orcam.
Are you freaking kidding me?
That's your Orcam.
You're freaking kidding me.
Yeah. Aww. Are you excited? What do you say?
Thank you, everybody.
I'm videoing you. Did you know I'm videoing?
No.
You figured, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you figured I was videoing.
Yes, but I wasn't sure why.
Yeah.
Hey, I have figured out the glasses. Okay. Here we go.
Here we go. We're starting with money.
Just said $100.
This is some medicine.
Baby cough syrup plus mucus.
Okay. Look up. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Turn your head to the left so she can see it. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, everybody! That's so cool.
Thank you so much.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yes. Yay!
I'm super blessed to be part of y'all's church.
Yes.
For I was blind and you bought me a pair of special glasses. I can't even tell you what a blessing it is to be able to be an outreach to bless others. And you guys, because of your heart for Christ and your heart for other people, y'all make that possible. There's so many examples I could give you, but this is a very special one, a very recent one with Novi. Novi, thank you for letting us share that with you. One of the things that that Novi is still working on, she's got, you heard, it's hard to hear the voice, but it's right there in her ear, she can hear it, but there's going to be a Bluetooth earpiece that she can get where it won't be an audible voice out to other people, but she'll be able to hear that, and those are coming, and she'll be still, you know, fine-tuning how to use those. What a blessing. What a blessing. We continue the sermon series, Let the Church Arise. The Church Arise. What does the church have that the world needs? This week, servants. We need servants. We've talked about these last 3 weeks, we've talked about that we as the church, we need to share Jesus, how we need to proclaim the Word of God, and how we need to walk an authentic walk with the Lord. Today's message is we are called to serve, called to serve. I was telling a couple of people before church, I don't know what led me there, but have you ever heard someone who's a non-believer, specifically even someone who's maybe calls themselves an atheist, and they'll make an argument. They'll say, "Church, you know, all that religion has done is caused a bunch of wars, and it's all these evil things that has come out of because people, you know, follow religion and all of these things." And so, with that thought in my mind, as I'm thinking about being the church, I Googled, which is, I don't know if this was a mistake or not. It was very enlightening for me. I Googled famous atheists. And I came up to a page and I began to read down through, there was hundreds of them. And some were from history that have already died, and some were modern day, you know, even Hollywood type people or whatever. And I began to read, and I read through the entire list, there were hundreds. And there was, it would have their name and when they lived and what their profession was, and it would have a quote that they were famous for about being an atheist. And as I read down through this list, I didn't run across anyone who had actually blessed society, blessed the world. I mean, there was nothing. And I began to think, if you think about, I'm just thinking, as I was reading down that list, I was thinking, I wonder how many meals they've passed out to the hungry. I wonder how many homes they have rebuilt when a tornado or a tsunami has wiped away homes. I wonder how many turkeys they've passed out to neighborhoods. I wonder how many times they have have done things that has blessed people. I wonder how many special glasses those people bought for people. The church has something to offer. And I want to tell you, I really honestly do feel like preaching that I'm preaching to the choir this morning, because you guys are just an incredible church, and I am blessed to be a part of it. I had not planned on going there, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Another thing that is happening right now in the process, a young man that, and by his own admission, he has struggled in his past, is not involved in our church, struggled in his past with alcohol and drugs, and his wife died from alcohol about a year ago, and he basically, that led him to the Lord, and he has been clean for a year, and he's working, but he's struggling to try. He's sleeping on a friend's couch and has been for months, and he reached out randomly to us as a church, and through your kindness, through your generosity, we're going to get this young man set up in an apartment. If you have, by the way, if you have furniture that you would like to donate, email me, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org, and we'll try to get him some furniture for that. But we're going to get him furniture and a apartment. We're going to, he has a job, but he has to ride the bus to get to the job. He has to walk a long way to get the job. We're going to get him a vehicle so that he can, I mean, it's weird. I was telling Cheryl, it's like, this is life-changing for this man. It's life-changing because of the kindness of God's people. I wonder how many people on that list of atheists have done those sort of things. The church, we should be different. And we are different. This man, he was so excited and he was blown away that we're going to do this for him. And I told him, his name is Dan, and I told Dan, I was talking to him on the phone, and I said, Dan, we're going to give you a fresh start. Don't blow it. And I told him, I said, while it may be Wiley Methodist writing the check for this to get you going, I said, the gift is from God. It's not from us. It's a gift. God is telling you, I'm with you. I love you. I have not forgotten you. I want to bless you. Don't blow it. And he assures me that he is thankful and he will work hard to be worthy of the gift. First thing, as we jump into the points this morning, as we look at this scripture and really all of God's word, first thing we notice is that Jesus calls us to service and he sets the example. He doesn't just tell us to do these things. He showed us how. On the night that he was betrayed, in just a little while, we're going to have the opportunity to partake in Holy Communion. On the night before Jesus would go to the cross, and before he would set the example of this Last Supper, it says in John 13, Jesus got up from the meal, took out his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place, and he said, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus became our servant. In Ephesians 5, y'all have heard me talk about this, he admonishes the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church, to be that sort of a husband. And he's basically saying, look, you know, I am patterning for you this image of marriage. I am the bridegroom. You, the church, are the bride. And he, for his bride, he laid down his life. He humbled himself and he became obedient even to death. He set us the example. He said, what I'm showing you, what I'm teaching you, do that. Do that. for this world, because the world needs to see an example of service. Jesus also said in Mark chapter 10, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus calls us to service and he sets us the example. So I'm going to stop there a second and just ask the question, how are we doing, church? I mean, I know we have, as a global church, as us, as Wiley Methodist Church, I know so many give, so many serve, and I tell, I'm like Brent, I brag on you guys all the time to the point where sometimes I have to throttle it back to telling people what a great church you guys are. But I also know this, if I'm being honest, some of us aren't there yet. Some of us aren't there yet. Many, many are, but some of us still need to understand it's not about me. It's not about me. I tell people, and this sounds really, I guess, preacher-like, but I'm a preacher, so I can get away with it. Jesus, it wasn't fun to hang on a cross. That wasn't a good time. He did it because he loves his bride. He did it because he was setting us an example. And he was restoring us unto the Father. Jesus calls us to service and he sets the example. Number two, service validates the authenticity. Sorry, I'm using big words, Robert. Just to help him out, Debbie. Service validates the authenticity of our walk with Jesus. This passage in verse 37 today, the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and when did we see you as a stranger and needing clothes and so forth? And he says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. I believe that if we don't have a heart for service, God still, he's got some work to do in us, doesn't he? If all we're ever thinking about is, you know, how can the church bless me, we're not quite there yet. Service, a heart for service, validates the authenticity of our walk with Jesus. If we have a heart for service, I believe we're not earning our way to God's favor, but Jesus said very clearly that those who have done these things, those who have served, will be blessed eternally. And those who don't, something else is going to happen. It's not going to be that great. Which leads me to the third point. Jesus rewards our service. And again, it's not about where we miss this sometimes in the church is we think that being good or doing stuff, going to church, giving our money, working, doing this and doing that, that somehow that gives us favor with God. It doesn't save us. It validates us. It validates that walk. And Jesus is saying that he rewards that. Come to the ones on his right, the ones who have been blessing others, who've been serving. He says, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, the ones who haven't, but the righteous to eternal life. What I hear Jesus saying is that service validates our walk with him, and when we aren't doing that, then we may not even know him. I mean, that's what I get from this. I want to say it again. You guys are an incredibly good church. I'm so blessed to be a part of this church fellowship. As we move into this time of communion. By the way, our children are going to be coming back in and joining you here in just a moment, I hope, while I talk about this. As we go into this time of communion, I want to read this scripture. My command, these are the words of Christ again. My command is this, Jesus says. Love each other as I have loved you. And I just talked about how has he loved us? He's loved us by giving himself up for us. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, I don't know anybody that has physically given up their life, physical life for someone else, but I know it happens. But I think Jesus is saying not just that we would physically die, that we have to do that, but that we would place others above ourselves, which he did, that last meal. If I want to invite you, if you did not get a communion cup, hold up your hand and keep it up. We'll come to you, get those to you. Hold those up, keep them up. Okay. And if you're going to have children coming back to join you, if you want them to have a communion cup, you can raise your hand and we'll bring those to you for the children. Okay. As we partake here in just a few minutes, I want to also remind you that after we have partaken and the cup is empty and we've finished with our service, on your exit, as you exit the doors, there'll be some trash cans for you to discard the empty containers there. I think are they coming? All right, I'm going to give the children just a few more minutes to come in. While they're doing that, let me just invite you, communion. We've altered, we've tried some different ways to do communion through this COVID time. But communion it's not for perfect people, it's for redeemed people. Okay? So if you feel unworthy to partake in Holy Communion, that's a good thing. I feel unworthy to partake of this meal. So it begins with an attitude and a heart of repentance, recognizing, again, I love this, the way the sheep on Jesus' right will respond. When did we do this? I mean, they're just doing what comes natural to them, to serve and to bless others. And he said, when did we do these things? Well, when you did it for them, you did it for me. That's what he says. And so it begins with a heart of repentance. So I want to just ask you if you'd bow your heads. And as we let the children come back in, that you would just bow your heads and you would just, in your own heart, confess to Jesus any sin in your life. Ask him to love you and forgive you. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven, church. Amen. So as we partake here in just a moment, if you are welcome to partake, you do not have to be a member of our church. What we ask is that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that you have confessed him as Lord and Savior, and that you repent of your sin, and you are welcome to partake of this meal. So I remind you to do the bread first. I don't see any. Never mind. I won't say that. That was a bad joke last month. But if you'll go ahead and open up the bread on your on that side. This is the body of Christ. Go ahead and partake. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And if you'll go ahead and open up the juice side. Father, we pray that this bread and this cup would be for us the body and blood of Jesus. We pray blessings on it in Jesus' name. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Go ahead and partake. King will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, and you will go to eternal life. Let's pray. Our praise team will come up. Father, we thank you for this meal, this body and this blood that was broken and shed for us. We thank you that you have not only called us to serve, but you have set us the perfect example. Teach us, O Lord. Teach us how to serve better. Teach us how to love better. Thank you for blessing us and for those in this fellowship, God, who serve and give so generously so that we might be a blessing to others. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able, and as we close with this final song, the altar is open. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, man, what a great day to say yes to Him, because He has said yes to you. Come and see me. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you, especially our guests. Have a free gift for our guests as well as we close.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness
y'all come up here with me real quick. I love these girls. You were blind, and you gave me special glasses. That's what Jesus says. He says that to y'all. You like those glasses?
Oh, absolutely. I might be able to use them for my UIL meet.
Awesome. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for Novi and dismiss us. Father, we thank you for the joy of giving, the joy of being your servant. We pray blessings on Novi. We thank you, God. Even though she has not been able to physically see, Father, she just exudes joy. May she be an example to us. Bless her and her family. Teach us how to serve better. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Go and tell someone we are dismissed. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.